The Bible reading for the sermon is found in the 46th Psalm, which we sang. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the ways in which you have helped your people in times past, and also for helping us. And we pray that you will be present with us at this time with your Holy Spirit to help us understand the meaning of your word for our lives. Help us also in our training here that we will achieve the skills and wisdom and gifts that we need to bring the helpfulness of your word to those to whom we minister. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At the beginning of each school year, we have an opening banquet for new students, and after which they're invited to the faculty homes where we get to know them better. And in the process of getting to know one of these students, he told about himself. He had been working in a state university on a doctor's degree. The requirement in the course was to read some classic books. In the list was one by Martin Luther about freedom. And he read it, and he was converted. Because Luther told the truth about the human situation, the human need for God, and he told the truth about the Bible, which contains all of the experiences of the ways in which God helps man in his needs. And so just as this person was changed and he was here studying for the ministry to bring that helpfulness of God to other people in his vocation, so the work of Martin Luther changed history, and especially the history of the church. And I suppose it could be summarized in those words where that goal for which the early Christians prayed, Lord God, give us boldness that we can confess. So Luther modeled that boldness before the Holy Roman Empire and its emperor. When asked to recant what he had written, he reflected that this was the truth of God in the scriptures, and by the scriptures, by reason, and by my conscience, he said, that I cannot recant. Here I stand. So help me God. And that changed everything. Philosophers now who study the philosophy of history go back to Luther. Martin Luther King had his name changed to Martin Luther because he knew he needed the power of God to bring the helpfulness of God's word to his people. And after his assassination, inscribed on his tomb are the words, "Free at last, thank Almighty God, I'm free at last." And so this was the ultimate freedom, to be freed from the bondage to decay, the Greek word for decay, phora, that there is no annihilation or end, but there's the glorious liberty of the children of God. And that was the last great enemy, death. So the first human need that this text speaks to is fear. And the terrible things of nature and history are described. And some interpret even these descriptions of nature, the tumultuous smoking of the water and the lava of the volcanic mountains flowing into the depth of the sea and so on. And naturally, that would make you afraid. Then you think of the asteroids now scientists describe as hitting this planet. And so there is a natural fear of this. So we took 12 months to go over to Lutherland in the great anniversary year of the Reformation. We had five little children, and we took the SS Berlin on its last commercial voyage across the North Atlantic. So we found out firsthand what these tumults of nature can be. Here we headed right into one of the worst hurricanes on the North Atlantic, Hurricane Faith, F-A-I-T-H, the name of a woman. Well, it had more meaning than that, because soon the water was coming over the top of the boat, and the steward comes in and takes this large round steel cover and puts it over the glass window in our bunk room. And our children were not only sick, but afraid, and he wanted to comfort them. He says, come along with me. And he went down into the basement, you know, the bottom of the ship. And there was this huge motor and a large steel propeller shaft going back to the propeller, and that was running like a clock, like silent power, and you could see that shaft spinning, and that boat was plunging through the large waves coming over the top of it. He said, you know, this long history of crossing the Atlantics, this boat has gone through a lot of bad storms, and you children will be taken safe to the harbor. And so we arrived at Bremerhaven, and we spent that time in these places where Luther lived and worked, the Lutherstädte. And first of all, we deal with this, a mighty fortress is our God, and the fears that we have in nature and history. And so this is called a psalm of confidence. Luther brought in a Reformation, assurance to the people in the empirical evidence and the truth of the Word of God in the Bible. God has helped people in their needs. N-O-T, the German word. The note, with this anniversary, we talk about the Hilf note. These people were in crisis in the United States. The Lutherans, they didn't have, in their broken English, a pastor. Their children were getting big and they weren't baptized or they weren't instructed and confirmed. They needed a pastor, as in the two series PBS documentary film on the, called The Immigrants, the Lutherans coming to America, to northern Minnesota. And so this helpfulness of a pastor and a church is mediated to people. The reading for today is from the Old Testament is Isaiah 55, seek God when he's near you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways not your ways. He's a transcendent God. Luther brought that power and love of God into available, personal Jesus Christ who could be understood even by a little child. O little town of Bethlehem, Jesus loves me, this I know. These children's hymns describe this theology of how God can take away the fear. Second, is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. The right man will fight for us. He is not, as Tillich said, some far-off bombing pilot. He is down with us in the front line trenches. He's the valiant one in the translation we have today. He's the one with power, but also grace. In addition to this faith relationship to an all-powerful God in the first affirmation, the second is that of grace which is revealed in Jesus Christ. That was a conversion for Luther, to know that he didn't have to achieve the righteousness, but that God gave this righteousness in Jesus Christ. The right one fights for us. So in these long trips to East Germany, where most of the places where Luther was born and died and lived and worked, I was driving at night. It was New Year's Eve through the forests of Thuringia. And to get to Eisenach, of course, the hotels were filled there and we had to stay in a lumbering town nearby. The manager of the motel came to me in the morning as I was getting ready to check out. He says, "You're a pastor, aren't you?" "Yes." I says, "You're a Lutheran pastor." He says, "I'm a Lutheran. My home was in West Germany originally, and now I'm here under the totalitarianism of Marxism and Stalinism." That's like a terrible storm in nature, in history now. And he started to cry. He says, "My mother is in West Germany. We went to church," he said, and here," and he reached in all the money he had taken in on New Year's Eve with the bar and the parties. And he was looking forward to the time when he could some way get through the Mauer, the wall, back to home. The right one fights for us to wipe away the tears of guilt, such as this man near Eisenach would have. And third, we deal with Scripture. All of these dynamic concepts of faith and grace and Jesus Christ are revealed in the Scripture. One of the verses here says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted all over the earth, all over the world." And then the reading, which was read from the 10th chapter of Romans, deals with how do we put this into practice? How does God get this job done? Already in Isaiah 55, it says, "My word will not return unto me empty or void. My word will get done what I purpose it to be done, for it to get done." And it does. In Romans 10, in that epistle reading for this day, in commemorating the death of Martin Luther, we have the words, "He who confesses with his lips that Jesus is Lord," meaning that Jesus rules our lives, "and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, will be saved." Now that was comforting. The words in the psalm say that the rivers flow through the city and make the people of the city glad and joyous. And so the Holy Spirit brings these gifts of God's grace to us. Again, the literal emphasis on the assurance and comfort of the gospel that Luther had experienced and was trying to bring to the people. A non-Luther Lutheran wrote about Luther saying, "He was the voice of the people." In his observations, he saw the church was like a bureaucracy that thought that the people existed for it, while God is revealing himself as one who is near us, the God of Jacob in history, to help us. And that we can be taught, as Luther translates the Bible and he teaches in the small catechism, how we can pray petitions on the Lord's Prayer. And sure, he's the God of Jacob, the one in history, who in his own need, as in he's lying on the rock and his need for God goes up the ladder, and the angels of God and the help of God comes down. God is revealing himself as available for the help of the needs of the people. And so we have in the Lord's Supper, the man is crying, he feels guilt in Eisenach or in that neighborhood. "Take and eat the body of Christ." This is the true body of Christ. This is reality. More important reality. When you get my age in the ministry, you'll say, "This is the most important thing." And I didn't know it when I was young. "Take and drink. This is the blood of the New Testament. You can have a new start. Shed for the forgiveness of your sins, hotel manager." That's what Luther made known. And finally, the bow will be broken and the spear broken in two, and the chariots of fire are cast down and destroyed. Our fear of death, which I started to talk about in the beginning, Paul called the last great enemy. He dealt with the evil that is in us in the 7th chapter of Romans. "Oh, wretched man that I am, how can I get through this?" guilt, evil. Only through the victory of Jesus Christ dying for me. And finally, in 1 Corinthians 15, and Luther followed the Pauline Augustinian tradition. What about death? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can have peace even with this last great enemy, which Luther experienced. At the time of the death of his 14-year-old daughter, Magdalena, who was called Leni, she was deathly ill, and he's talking with his sick child about, would you love Daddy? Yes, she said, I love you, Father, and I love my Father in heaven, too. I now go to him. Luther commented on that, the peace that comes to one. God makes the wars cease, even this last great battle. We need a strong ship to take us through the Atlantic hurricanes, but even a stronger one and a mightier fortress to take us across the river of death. Luther felt that confidence, reaffirming his faith and what he had taught, and expressed it in the words of Jesus as he himself died at Eisleben, where he was born and where he was baptized. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Amen.